Oh, hello, Houston, and it's now time for Charlie Pacheco.
Hello, Houston.
Hey, and you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston and KEOS College Station. How you been, Charlie?
Good, I guess.
You have a title for your slot yet? Well, I mean your show. I don't know what you call your slot.
My slot. I'm like, okay. I don't know. I've been kind of thinking of one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Jukebox with a queer country sound.
There we go. What have we got tonight?
We are going to have a special guest, Mr. Taylor Cage.
Whoa.
Yeah, he does a radio show in Austin, Texas on Co-op Radio FM. Called Queer Waves.
Yes.
And it's an excellent program. It's a musical program. It's almost solid music.
Yeah, like I know. I envy him.
Which I love that. With
yeah,
him.
Me too.
I co-emceed, I don't know what you want to call it, DJ'd with him when the rodeo, gay rodeo was up in Fort Worth. We did a show that was dedicated to gay country artists. And it was pretty fun. We had a good time together.
Boy, I'll bet.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
So I talked to him this morning. We were on the phone for 3 hours. We both love to talk.
So you have nothing left to say?
No, actually, I mean, we talked about all the stuff we couldn't say on the air.
Ah, okay. The song I just played was one of yours from your album, Here Come the Blues, that's called Cowboys or Steelers.
Right.
Can you tell me about that song?
That song was just typical redneck cowboy.
Yep.
From the good old days.
Yeah.
Players, you know.
Yep, cowboys can be players,
and
too.
Some cowgirls, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, a lot of the lesbian community liked that song in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we give them a call? Usually I go to a piece of music, but, hell, let's let the audience know what it's like to get somebody on the air here.
Okay.
Give them a call.
Do I draw 1, 9?
Yeah.
9?
One.
Okay. I feel like we're doing a prank call or something.
I know.
Where is zero on here?
Right there.
Oh, what am I doing? Am I getting a dial tone on this thing?
Oh,
can
that's
you tell
funny.
I'm not an operator?
That's funny. We have, you know, about a dozen different lines, and so he's using the line buttons to try to...
I have no idea.
Okay, so there you are.
I'm not hearing a dial tone.
Okay, let Chris help you with that.
Oh, that's right. He's talking to somebody out there.
So what's the number?
You're going to say the number out loud?
No.
Where's the number?
They're dialing the number now.
Can you hear the number?
No. But there's 3 more numbers they have to add to it at the end, right there. How's it working?
Move your headphones so you can hear.
Is this Taylor Cage? How are you?
Hey.
We have him on the air.
We've got him. So now we need to put him on the air.
Okay. Hold
so
on.
You have to put him on hold.
Hold on a minute.
No, I just gotta.
Will that work? Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're there.
Oh my gosh, am I on?
You are on.
Oh, well, just a minute. Let me practice. Penis worship. Tell those guys that is really hard to say this Sunday morning.
Oh, he was listening. He was on the net listening to us.
Yes, I was. Well, isn't technology wonderful,
it
boys
is.
And girls? Gosh.
It is. Have you heard the whole show? Or I mean, when we were talking to the Republican, or just...
Well, what can I say? My gosh, I'm so glad there was a little buffer between me and the Republican.
He might be still listening. He may call back.
Oh, he just might. Hello?
Taylor Cage, you are the host and the producer and everything else, right, of Queer Waves?
Yes, right now it is a one-person operation. Yeehaw.
I know what that's like. Been there.
Oh my gosh, it is so much fun to be doing the whole thing. Yep. Mm-hmm.
When are you on?
Yes. Well, we're on from, believe it or not, 4:30 in the afternoon on Saturdays to 6:00 every week. It's 90 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big show to put together too for 90 minutes worth of music.
Believe it or not, I always leave the studio going, gosh, I didn't get to play, and I didn't get to play.
Yes.
Sometimes that's all I'm thinking about is who I didn't get to play that week.
You're just a walking jukebox, what can I say?
Hey, just put that quarter in, darling.
B5, babe.
Please, mister, please don't play B17.
Ooh, no, I remember that.
That's, remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Oh, Olivia. The big O.
Oh, baby. Love that outfit at the end of the movie.
Oh, you know, I was just thinking that.
End of the movie. Well, there you go.
Grease, honey. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the one that I want. Oh.
I can tell you two have worked together, yes. I bet you had fun. Did you get to play any music at all?
No, yeah,
actually,
we did.
Actually, we did because we needed time to talk about things we couldn't talk about on the air.
Oh. I told him, I was on the phone with you for 3 hours this morning, and he goes, what were y'all? He goes, and y'all aren't going to have anything to talk about tonight. I go, we talked about all the stuff we couldn't talk on the air. That's what we did on the show, on your show, remember? The minute we put on music so we could start just, you know, talking.
Talking about the good stuff. Yeah.
And what about sometimes? He was, oh my, he what? Ooh. You
know? Uh-huh. The lowdown on some of the country artists.
Heaven forbid.
Uh-huh.
It was scary.
Tell me what kind of music do you play on your show?
Well, oh gosh. I guess it would probably be easy to tell you what kind we don't.
Uh-huh.
I try to stay away from show tunes. Unless it's Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
There you go.
That goes on.
Isn't that the best music?
Oh, God.
That is so good.
I can't wait for that movie to come out.
Me either.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
About that and the only other show tune that I can think of that's ever crossed my airwaves pre-show CD that Elton John and Tim Rice put out of Aida.
Aida, yes.
Mm.
They've got this one song on it that's done by, I think, Boys to Men.
Mm-hmm.
That's apparently one of the love songs from one of the female characters in it. And Boys to Men sing it with the he gender still left in there as a love object. It is just incredible. To
oh,
hear
we
this,
have to get
this
that.
This boy group voice singing.
Oh, what a hoot.
Love.
Oh, that's right up my old alley, I'll tell you.
Well, we won't talk about up the alley, but there we go. Anyway, after all, this is a family show,
yes,
right?
Yes, well,
mm-hmm.
Our family.
I can tell. At 1:57
yeah,
in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everybody's leaving the bar right now.
Yeah, this about this time is when I start playing the Pansy Division without censoring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Or Rainbow Flavor.
Oh God. You know, I still haven't gotten that CD.
Oh, it's so good, except you can't play anything without editing it.
That is so frustrating. Yeah,
yes, it is.
One of the local groups here used to, what is it, Swine King. I got one of their CDs, and I mean, it's got Randy Biscuit Turner on it, who's one of the icons of Austin music for decades, and I can't play a damn thing on that CD on my show.
I love Rainbow Flavor, and I took one of their songs into the production room, and not that I'm very good at it, but I spent, you know, like 3 hours, you know, taking all the words out.
And then you had three words left.
just so I could play it on the air, you know. And they didn't mind in the least. I mean, some groups do, but they didn't.
There is one song that I would love to play sometime with one of my little outdoors sets, I call them, that's the Gretchen Phillips Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Keys Park. And I, you know, and it's horrible because I couldn't, there's no way in heck I could play it.
No, not at your time slot.
I'm still censoring myself because, you know, the 4:30, the 4:30.
6:30 p.m. time slot that I do on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's no way in heck.
I love it.
That's right. Yeah.
Because all the best parts of the songs would just be one big bleep, you know?
I remember when Co-op was forming, because I was still here, and there was a guy here who did a show at KPFT who was going to Austin to help form it. He was very excited about the whole concept of Co-op, and why don't you tell the folks out here just what Co-op is all about?
Well, Co-op is basically a volunteer-run station. How it's set up is that all the program, there's one paid staff person, well, actually two paid staff people, a bookkeeper and a business manager whose main function now is to try to find us money. It's volunteer based. We have it set up to where, the programmers, anyone involved to be a volunteer member, you need to do 30 hours of work at the station a year. And that can be anywhere, anything.
A year?
Mm-hmm, 30 hours a year, which can be anything from helping sweep the studios, doing organizing, or working the phones at our pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's quite an amazing little setup.
Yes.
Our mission statement at Co-op is to give a voice to groups and people who are underrepresented in the media, even the media in Austin. So
that's going something.
I mean, it's wonderful. We have 3 hours of gay and lesbian programming. Let's see, we do 30 minutes of
This Way Out?
This Way Out,
mm-hmm.
Yes, that wonderful syndicated show.
Yeah.
Then we have a mostly news and interview show on Friday. Ronnie Stern's doing it, Outspoken.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then there's Queer Waves on Saturday.
Hey.
Which is the show.
I wouldn't call it the show.
Oh, I will.
Modesty forbids, but...
I can, because I'm in Houston.
But it is a lot of fun doing it. I've been doing it for 3 years, and I wouldn't still be doing it if I didn't have fun doing it.
Exactly.
I didn't have fun doing it, God, can we? Oh, God.
What got you into doing that, by the way?
Well, it turns. Would you like the real story behind it?
Yes.
You bet.
Details.
I'll clean it up some and give you the short version.
I'll call you later.
The previous host was unavailable, let me put it that way. Suddenly.
You knocked her out behind the station.
Quiet. I'm supposed to hear that one. Charlie, don't. Anyway, and the engineer of the show, his boyfriend remembered that I used to do a radio show back in our college days.
In the great city of?
Kingsville, Texas.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yes, Texas A&I University, boys and girls. Be afraid, be very afraid. And yes, it was a 70s, 70s album-oriented station. Of course, back then we didn't call it album oriented. We didn't know.
Right.
And so, of course, did I use my 70s voice. Okay, here we go. I wonder if this will go over the telephone lines quite as effectively. Here we go. And that was Bette Midler with Lullaby on Broadway. And this is Taylor Cage broadcasting from the second floor of Jones Auditorium and on the beautiful campus of Texas A&I University, Kingsville, Texas.
And then that silence right afterwards.
Oh, of course. You had to have that moment of silence.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
before and after.
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, you could be choking down a reefer then. Who the hell knows?
It's not that air. It's the moment of silence for emphasis.
At Queer Waves, we call it the silence that frames the sound. There's no such thing as dead air.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Silence that frames the sound. Ooh. Yeah, because we got a lot of that around here.
Well, what asking you. I learned that whole attitude from when I was in high school yearbook, and they were telling us about layout, saying the most important part of a layout isn't the picture, it's the white space around it.
Oh, brother.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so my gosh. Yeah, so I guess I have had a co-host on the show every now and then.
Mm-hmm. How long do they last?
Oh, let's see. Well, bless her heart. My first was Chris Whitwer.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I love her. I do wish she'd come back. Because one thing that I hope this doesn't sound so PC, but I would love to have a lesbian co-host simply because of the music they would bring.
Yes,
right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And what would be meaningful to them? I as a gay man, you know.
Yes.
There's certain parts of my music library I just don't have.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
Yeah, because we gravitate to. I don't know. It's kind of weird with me because with queer artists, I gravitate towards the males. But with straight artists, I gravitate toward the female.
Because they have bigger hair.
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what it is. And so I'm always embarrassed when I finally put my playlist out on OutVoice and notice how few women that I've got there.
And Austin has has almost always had such a vibrant women's music scene here. That you know that's one thing I've always got to be careful of. That I don't want to give women short shift. I mean,
well, you've got all the stars there.
Right.
You know, it's like everybody I've heard of comes from Austin these days.
Oh well. Yeah. Oh, Meg Hentges. Oh, she is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she is. She is so sweet.
Oh gosh, and you get to interview all these folks, I guess.
Every now and then I manage to corral.
Uh-huh.
that also would be helpful to have a co-host because there's only so much one person can do.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's nice when people are coming in town. They have an open invitation to drop by that co-op studio if they can find it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of those, huh?
Charlie can tell you.
Oh, he's rolling his eyes now.
I gotta quit doing that. I'm getting a headache. No, it is hard to find that place because you. What floor are y'all on there? You're on
the
top floor.
We're on the third floor.
You're on the third floor, but the sign says to go to the top floor, the sixth floor or something. I know. I ended up on this floor that there was like nothing there, and I thought I was in this like. It's like horror film. Like all of a sudden someone was going to come out with an axe and chop my cowboy hat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd find my body months later.
Because there's this stairway hidden behind this door that unless you notice the door, then you have no idea where the hell this
station
is.
See? Stairway behind the door? See?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
horror
yes.
film. No, it was fun though. There, I had a really good time.
Yeah, you came back raving about it.
Yeah,
and what a good time you had. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, when the first time I talked to him again, long distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I talk to him, we stay on the phone for at least 2 hours. That's our minimum.
It's horrible. It's just horrible.
And I'm going like, go to this website and go to this one. No, go to this one. Very fun.
But it's just amazing to me how queer music has exploded in just the last several years.
It is remarkable. I had this bright idea of dealing with the releases of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing that.
No kidding.
You know,
I've
done so far 3 shows, and I still have left for one. It is amazing. And I'm playing one cut album.
My goodness.
I have Tom J.D. Doyle on the show. We were talking about we were doing favorites of two. We were commenting, you know, if we were doing this like 10 or 12 years, Romanowski and Phyllis and Lynn Lafner, and then we go home.
And
go, good show.
Olivia, there you go.
Yeah, that's... And now I can't find enough time to play all the artists that I want.
I know, that is...
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem I have of the people I did...
Yeah, and unfortunately for, well, this is a variety show talking going on, and, you know, it's not a good show, but I put in as much music as I can. But 10 years ago, Romanofsky and Phillips' album would come out, and we would feature six or seven songs from that album. And now, with a new artist, I can feature one song, but I can't really give an artist more time than that.
Yeah,
I know. And heaven forbid if it's a 6-minute song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. There's the show. It's them in concert.
Yeah, it's really a problem. And so I have co-hosts scheduled for each half of the show. Mm-hmm. Four nights a month. Mm-hmm. So when there's a fifth Saturday, that's kind of a free night, and that's when I get to do a lot more of the music.
Oh, cool! I'll listen in. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
myself.
On the fifth Saturday.
The fifth Saturday.
It's all music, and JD's usually here.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we have.
I
a
had
lot
no.
Of fun
y'all
together.
Never talked about that on Outboys.
Yeah. Well,
holding back on me, huh?
We've been JD and I
revealed here.
JD and I have known each other for, gosh, 10 years or more. When we first met, he wasn't into queer music yet, and he was like the expert on girl groups of the 60s.
Wow, see, I didn't know that either.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the collection.
Oh,
he had this incredible. He had a walk-in closet filled. And, you know, and he is, like, he's got all the acid-free paper and all of that, and everything
oh, yeah.
is all so nice and neat and all of that. I mean, he's really anal about it.
But a great collection.
Oh, yes.
Mint condition, obviously.
Crazy
and now he's doing the same with queer music. And I mentioned it earlier, and I believe it, that he knows more about queer music than any other person in the United States.
I think he's cool.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
I remember on the Outboys list that I subscribed to, for a while there, they were doing these trivia questions. I was looking, reading them, going, huh?
Yeah, and JD
is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does. I mean, because he really gets into it. I mean, he gets in contact with people. He gets the most, the stuff you never heard of, the stuff that I don't know where he gets some of this stuff. Incredible.
Yeah, see, I think it's cool to have, like, people that have shows.
Yeah.
And to interview other people, because you pick up so many different ideas and you can share with each other.
No kidding.
I think it's cool.
One of the biggest problems that I have with programming my show, and Charlie and I were talking about this. I'll give the cleaned up version.
Okay.
How can I put it? Figuring out who qualifies to be on a gay and lesbian program.
Yes, yeah. For JD, it's real clear cut. He plays music with gay content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
gotta have gay content, gay mm-hmm. lyrics. And for me, it's enough that the artist is gay or lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking more for the message rather than the lyrics. I would appreciate same-sex lyrics, but I really look for a message, a positive message for the community
right.
in the music that I play.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the really priority items, is that when you're doing a queer program, I do have my favorite artist who just, you know, maybe be at the lower end of the Kinsey scale, as I call them, but who, if I had a general music show, would definitely be in heavy rotation. But they just, bless their hearts, you know.
I know.
What can I say? There's an old Tallulah Bankhead joke that I don't even know if I can clean up enough for the after hours. about someone asking if Montgomery Clift was gay.
Oh, I know this one. Yeah.
So if you're old enough, boys and girls, you can fill in the blank there. And if you're not,
look
go
it up.
Find an old, go find
Call
an
us.
Older person.
Call us at 713-526-5738. We'll tell you the punchline.
Now, what was that again?
No, but that's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. And I think everybody has a different definition when it comes to queer music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
obviously people do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much like whatever you want to do, But, I mean, it's to the individual.
What if a straight artist is singing a gay song or singing a song with gay content or favorable to the gay community? I mean,
no, and
I'd play it.
Yeah, I would, too.
You know?
Oh, well, of course. Yes. In fact, one of the guests we've had on our show one time, in fact, the first guest that we ever had on our incarnation of Queer Waves was Steve Brooks, a local author,
yes,
musician who
Sex, Lies, and Videotapes.
Was playing with, yes, that one indeed.
Yeah.
And he was doing the music with the Jim Hightower show that was syndicated out of Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the song dealing with the University Baptist Church that had just gotten kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention for having gay deacons. And he, you know, that got him on the show. He sang that song and sang a whole bunch of others. And it was a wonderful time. A good time was had by all.
There you go.
That's the important part, too.
Yes.
And he still gave a message, mm-hmm, too, so.
Yeah, Queer Waves, when we were starting it, when we were starting out with our incarnation, was pretty much like your show, mostly a variety show, because we were the only gay locally gay produced show in Austin.
Yeah.
So we had to have to cover everything.
Have to be something for everyone.
So
yes.
I'm so glad that Lonnie's doing Outspoken now, because that takes. That frees up my time for more music.
Yeah, nice.
Which is something I just have I just have a passion for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Good show, like I said, you know, I love it.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Great.
Yeah, I like your playlists. They're very varied. The only thing I haven't seen, I think, is anything like classical, anything like that.
Well, you know why? I am so classically illiterate, it's pathetic. You know?
Oh, come on. You know Tchaikovsky. Everybody knows Tchaikovsky.
Well, I just had it on.
It's in the CD track,
yes,
right now.
NP, now so playing.
yeah, and given the audience of co-op, I usually try to stay more along cutting edge songs,
mm-hmm,
and groups. So some, you know, though sometimes, what can I say? Sometimes someone just comes out with a song that I just have to play, even though it sounds like a marvelous lounge act.
I love those marvelous lounge acts.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Tell me about it. I know it thrills my little gay soul.
Uh-huh. I've actually done marvelous lounge acts myself.
I'm not even
depending
going
on the crowd
along that line of conversation.
A country lounge act. Okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
My lips are sealed.
I'll tell you later
afterwards. Lip those lips, yes.
Just send me the Polaroid.
Woo, yes.
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 Pictures. Lots of pictures.
Let's
it's
talk
lonely
about
here in Austin. I was finding my inner boyfriend before you called in.
Oh.
Boy, he was listening.
Boy, honey.
Yes, Eric Evans was helping me find my inner boyfriend. Yes.
You were going to ask?
Oh, you were going to ask?
Yes.
I know. That was one of those moments of silence right there. We had to think about it for a minute.
I know.
We were reflecting, okay, over here in Houston. Tell us about when you lived here. You used to live in Houston.
Oh gosh, yes. I lived for 6 months in Houston.
Where?
In 1980. These apartment houses on Timmins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I remember that, yeah.
I even, believe it or not,
there's a lot of gay people who lived out there at that time.
Oh, well, yeah. I was one of them for 6 months. In fact, I even helped out on Wildenstein, the program that...
No kidding!
Yeah, during their pledge drive.
Yeah.
I was one of the on-air people.
Wow.
So that was, gosh, there I was. That, the fall of 1980. Oh, God, let me tell you.
Boy, that was, I was still in the closet.
Oh, well.
Believe it or not. I know it's hard to believe. I mean, I'm the queerest man in Houston.
I believe you. I believe you, Jim.
Wow, yeah. And now Wildenstein has metamorphized into lesbian and gay voices.
Yahoo!
Yeah.
And there you go.
And there you go.
But yeah, it was, gosh. And got to meet Ray Hill, who, I mean Ray Hill is still one of my heroes.
Yeah.
What a wonderful person.
You're right. And he's been doing some one-man shows about his life that have been absolutely terrific. It's like a history lesson.
Mm-hmm. When is he doing those?
We'll announce them. He's finished one up before Christmas, and he's working on another one for Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that, too.
Oh, it's good. He is the grandfather of gay rights in Houston. He was the first person I ever remember standing up and saying, I'm openly gay.
Wow.
At an era when no one did that.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 60s.
Right. We were talking about that this morning, this afternoon. I can't remember now.
Mm-hmm.
Both. Yeah, we went into the afternoon. God. About doing a 70s show.
Yeah.
When we use terms like gay liberation.
Yeah.
And sexual freedom.
No kidding. Well, certainly exercised all my sexual freedom, I'll tell you that. Well,
so did I. Ooh, love to love you,
yes.
Babies.
I still remember those 6 months in Houston, yeah.
mm-hmm. I hope it wasn't in August.
Believe it. Well, coming from South Texas, it wasn't that much of a change.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was in late August.
Yeah.
Whenever you feel, but whenever you think of like the heat in Texas, always think of our many patios with shirtless men.
Oh, yeah.
Tends to take away that, you know, complaint about the heat.
No kidding.
Yeah,
you are so right about that.
Yes, I lived for 10 years in Northern California, and I could understand why the leather scene really took off there.
Yeah. And you go on the patios and they'd have heaters on and no one was ever without their shirt unless they were like high as a kite.
Uh-huh.
And then you didn't want to get to know them anyway.
Yeah, right. Once with the shirts off, you know.
But they were also talking to themselves into the sky. You know? Seriously. I sang at the Eagle one Sunday with the beer bust that they had. It was jam-packed.
Uh-huh.
And it's like freezing cold. I'm standing there and on the stage and the wind is hitting me and I've got like, you know, a coat on and I'm wishing I had on three more. And there's this guy in the back of the stage and he's standing there with no shirt on and he's looking up at the sky talking to them and I'm going like, just don't pull a gun because I won't be able to see it if you do. But that's the only shirtless person I ever saw.
Of course, most of the time at places like that, they really don't have anywhere available to have hidden weapons.
Oh, this is true.
Well,
true.
Maybe, but we won't even talk about that.
No. Well, what I wanted to talk about, though, was your 70s show that we talked about today.
Yes, that queer 70s show.
Yeah.
Yes.
And talk about, like, what you had in mind. I mean, I think that, like, actually touching on gay Austin in the 70s and a little bit of every kind of aspect would be really great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Charlie, like I was saying earlier... Hi, boys and girls. Yes, you didn't hear this part of the conversation because this was during our 3 hours. Mm-hmm. When I found out that you used to live in Austin in the 70s.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, yes. One of the things that got me started thinking about it was one of the local newspaper columnists had contacted me wanting to know what I knew or if I had pictures about bars here in Austin in the 70s. And I only moved here in 1981, and 82, so I didn't, so of course I didn't know the Austin gay scene in the 70s, except I knew it had to be better than South Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Why I moved there. But
it was very exciting back then.
Well, yeah, you got all these college kids, hello.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the main strip was just fantastic.
And then, I know that the music, people who were out, artists that were out then, Steve Goodman,
mm-hmm.
not Steve Goodman, the film musician that hung around with John Prine, but Steve Goodman, gay musician who in 1973 released, I think, what I would think would be the first openly gay album on a major label, which was Mercury, Caravan Tonight.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, we talked about that. I was excited about that when I heard that.
And then, of course, the golden age of the women's music that was just starting then with Chris Williamson mm-hmm. and people like that. You know, I mean, I would. I am definitely putting together a show like that. That queer 70s show.
Mm-hmm. Mae Christian, yeah, Margie Adam, and Chris Williamson. Yeah, those are the big three. And then there was the Waltz to Roses album.
Ah, yes.
That came out. I still have my copy of that.
Uh-oh. Well, cool. You may have to bring it.
Yeah, then the Blackberry put out a couple of albums.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
You know, I don't have any of his stuff. I feel that is one thing that I wish the gay men community was so much better at doing. The women's community, the lesbian and women's community, has such a great system.
Yes,
I mean, they really seem to appreciate their musicians, especially the ones that came out in the 70s. I know that they've all been released on CDs, mm-hmm. re-released on CDs, reformatted.
That's right.
Whereas there's so much of gay men's music that is still just on these old vinyl.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it's a men's concert with the gay men singing, you know, like Romanowski and Phillips, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. I take that because it is old school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They would come to Houston and they would sell maybe 10 tickets prior to the show.
Wow. Yeah.
And then all the guys would, like, if they didn't get laid that night, they'd go to the show and buy their tickets at the door.
Wow.
But still, I mean, you'd have half a auditorium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just drove me crazy.
Oh, gosh. And
but there, you know, you can't get into the disco.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well,
don't
get me started about the marketing of gay and lesbian independent music.
Oh, and you don't want to get me started on it either.
Oh.
And I know that's what sells, because, you know, in our stores here,
I know
you can't find Steve Cohen and Mark Weigel or any of these folks. I mean, what you find is dance music with naked men on the
gay
cover.
Happenings and
oh, yeah.
gay anthems
and
nobody's gay singing.
No one at all.
Believe me, I have nothing against naked men on the cover. In fact, I consider it, you know, I consider it a plus.
Well, I do too, actually.
But, you know, it comes to the point where you just, I have almost no trouble if I want to get a woman artist. There's Book Women here in Austin, which, mm-hmm. I mean, they carry everything with, you know, with women performers.
Wow.
And I just wish that the two gay and lesbian stores here would carry something more than the DJ mixes and straight women divas.
But obviously that's what sells.
But I think what happened, because when Different Light got rid of their music section, and they started, that's when all the indie artists, all of us had all of our stuff sent back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Without checks, I might add. I never got my checks. Two CDs, but, you know, still.
Still.
All my CDs sold out except for two, and I sent them there, you know, right before I had left.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was the big buzz when, you know,
I remember that.
They stopped selling our CDs. Mm-hmm. And I think, what I think is going on is that some of the other gay bookstores are looking at this and thinking, well, maybe we need to order more Madonna or whatever, or Gay Happenings, or, you know, that's what's going to sell. It's basically to survive.
I understand it. I mean, I push and push and push queer artists, but they don't sell.
Well, the thing about it is, too, is that I think that that has to do with the fact that, you know, when you put out an independent CD, you put all your money into just getting a decent CD done. You don't have any more money left over to do advertising and to market the thing like it should be marketed, you know, and that has a lot to do with it. People just, they don't want to take the chance of buying something and then it being, you know, bad, I guess. I don't know.
They don't have our love for queer music.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
what
the bottom line.
They want to buy top 40. They want to buy what's popular.
I just want to say, who's ever listening to Love Me, okay?
And let me tell you, Charlie is lovable.
I'm very lovable, I promise you.
But yeah, it's such, that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad that I, well, that's that the emphasis of the show, my show, became queer music, because yeah. I'm actually playing so many of the people that I always wondered, what the hell do they sound like?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's sad, because even the gay press doesn't really cover a lot of these people.
They're getting better, though, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited when this afternoon, I'd left, when I'd caught the bus to go downtown for the show, I'd left all the newspapers I had, which I'd pull out the announcements and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I stopped by at a bar and picked up this one bar rag that I'd never picked up before. And there was a page of four CD reviews, and three of them were actually queer artists.
I know that bar rag you're talking about, because I saw it too.
Yeah,
and I was really impressed.
I know. I thought, my God. And the other one, I don't know, but I knew the three of those four mm-hmm. were gay, and I went, my God, how wonderful! It was a thrill.
It's about time.
God, you know, because boys and girls, if you really don't listen to a lot of queer music, especially the independently produced ones, you'd be very surprised. When I was starting out, I was so afraid that, especially when I started asking for people to send me CDs,
mm-hmm.
I was so afraid I'd be getting this stuff that sounded like
they made it in their bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a guy with a Casio keyboard and way too much spare time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I have a few of those.
I have gotten a couple of those, but for the most part, it is just amazing the quality of the stuff that's out there.
Yeah, JD was making that comment the last time he was here too. That these days the quality is there. Mm-hmm. You don't get the little tinny stuff anymore.
And also the diversity of the music, too, is what I'm so excited about.
Yes.
Oh, me too. That I know I was mentioning this to you earlier today, that one of the things that one of the, dare I say, criteria for the show is I really want to avoid musicians and performers who I describe them as a gay man at the Casio keyboard who's singing "I'm gay and that's okay," or the lesbian artist who has the only thing she has to say on her guitar is "I am lesbian, that's what I am." You know,
yeah.
I'd like to think, okay, I'm kind of past that point where I need to hear that, and I hope my listeners are too. I'd like to play something that's a little deeper or a little more entertaining or a little bit more thought provoking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I maybe it's because of this time frame, but I know I like to play peppy things a lot, and I like the gay anthem, you know, stand up for yourself and all of that kind of stuff, and it may not be any deeper than that, but then there are times for the other stuff.
Right,
I usually start the show off with something kind of anthemic, the nice thing about having 90 minutes is that you can sort of flow with music. Like in the middle of the show, play play the more mellow acoustic type of music, and then at the end, I like to try to end mostly with something instrumental, so that the person who follows me won't feel too guilty about finding the nice place in the instrumental to fade out. Because the people who follow me, can, depending on who they are, can be really quite strict about their time.
Yes.
I noticed that when I was there.
Oh, it can happen here, too, let me tell you. Yeah.
It was like, that CD was still on. It was like, okay, and next we're going to have.
Yeah, but, you know, we talked about this, and I think this happens in community radio, that I remember I was on working on another show, and we followed a blues program, and this guy every week about 1 minute of the at the toward the top of the hour, uh-huh. yeah, 1 minute of, he would not only play a 5 minute song, but it was a dedication.
Oh.
You know, so you looked like you couldn't fade it out,
right?
You know,
he knew what he was doing, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
I know. So I've just gotten to the point where luckily there are some wonderful instrumental pieces, especially the new electronica stuff that's coming out. At least you're not being the artist isn't being cut off in the middle of a
That's
lyric.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Andy Munro has a nice one for that. You know, I like his stuff. Or something that I play every week underneath the news is where is it? It's right here. It's a great CD. It's Deuce. It's two women who play kind of jazz stuff.
Oh, that's
called
cool.
Windjammer. Ooh. Yeah, I love it. I love it. The whole thing is instrumental, but there's some really, it's good music.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, stuff like that, it's like
good
so exciting
music. Yes.
That it's something that it's different. It's not like the same old stuff coming out,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in the gay community today.
Oh, there's such a variety. One of my favorite artists that I started getting CDs from was Elaine St. George.
Oh, yeah. I love her.
I know, and it was my gosh, it's a lesbian doing 1930s music.
Yeah,
she's great.
You know, just belting them out,
and she doesn't change the pronouns. It's great.
That's the best part. Love playing that Shanghai Lil.
Oh, isn't that the greatest? Yes, I love that song.
I mean, there's just no telling.
Yeah.
I boys and girls, go to those websites and look them up.
That's
because
right.
I know you'll not be able to find them anywhere else.
Yeah. And she has the voice for that 1930s music.
She sure does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just amazing.
How did you find Outvoice?
Outvoice, to tell you the truth, I had gotten a press kit from Mark Weigel. Along with one of his CDs, and it was mentioning Outvoice, and I thought, you know, let me look this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on, and it was, and I was reading it, and I thought, you know, that about that time, it was early last year, I was losing the co-host, and it was going to be mostly me,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, God, I don't want to hear myself talk all this time. that's kind of schizophrenic. So I thought, you know, this would be a wonderful time to really expand this into a music show.
Yeah.
And I thought, my library was just so limited, and I went on to the Outvoice e-group, and I started posting the playlist and asking people, you know, hello, and I'm still, if you've got some CDs, could you send one this way?
Mm-hmm.
And because I felt, and I still feel a little funny, because I know that, the artist, you know, that it's sort of like, you know, going up to an artist and saying, hey, give me $5.
Yes. That's exactly how I feel, too. I do feel funny about it because I know they are not making money, uh-huh. a lot of money off the CDs.
And right now, we are still working at getting a broadcast on the net.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, you know, all I can offer them is who's ever listening in Austin.
But you know what? The thing about it is that that's offering them a great deal.
Yes.
A lot more than you think. I mean, when you print up a whole bunch of CDs, I mean, basically, you know, you charge $15 for the CD, depending on how much you're printing mm-hmm. them up. I always print up enough to where it's really not costing me anything to give them out as promos. I actually add that in when I go to print up.
Oh, well, that's reassuring.
It is reassuring.
And the thing about it is, I'm sure that most artists do that. I mean, that's how they get out. That's how do you think that we send stuff out to get reviews and Out Magazine and Advocate and all these other places? Because we send out free CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewers are not going to go out and buy your CD and say, oh, like, you know, people at Billboard don't sit there and go down to Warehouse and get these CDs. Forget it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, as an artist, it's like, that's the breaks, kiddo. You know, you got to, like, include all that in when you go to duplicate. So
I know for me, Outvoice has been my salvation.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on it for a little over 2 years, and before that, the information about gay music I got from was the gay press.
Yes.
So and then trying to find it,
yeah,
locally,
and trying to find them.
Yeah,
I remember about 3 years ago the article in the Advocate that actually had listed about 10 independent gay and lesbian musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a year trying to track them down.
Yes,
and didn't succeed. Of course, I didn't have a computer, so it was all going to
right.
local stores and asking, checking the bins. I mean, I'd be going through used CDs, anything.
Yeah, I did that too. I did the same thing because I didn't have a computer either.
Did you find very many gay artists in those places?
No.
Right?
No.
No, we spent hours and hours and then walked out empty-handed.
Well, you know, what I'm finding, though, the trend is, it seems to me that the trend is, if people buy gay independent artist CDs, they buy it more to add to their collection. It's more a collectible. People don't just go resell a gay CD.
No, you're right.
They know
it's
part
of gay
history, actually.
And the sad thing of it was that I got a lot of gay music back there because of AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because I bought,
estates.
Yeah.
They just sold stuff
Yeah.
off.
Well, they, would sell the CDs to, Soundwaves or something. And that's why I found gay music.
Wow.
I know. When I started out the program, the only reason I had hardly any gay music at all was because I'd brought it in when I was... I'd picked it up, certain things, at a different light when I was living in Northern California.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You probably had Yeah, in those days, a different light really handled a lot of music.
They had everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the one in San Francisco... I went through one day, because they have samples of everything. So I was like, let me hear her. Mm-hmm. One day, I stayed in there like a whole day. And I was like, okay, I kind of sums up the gay artists. And I heard everybody.
I discovered Pansy Division when all they had was a cassette.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
It was, well, you.
It was like 92, 93. Yeah. Yeah. And I found it in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, this was like revolutionary music for me.
Oh, God. I had the same feeling when I came across Extra Fancy.
Yes.
The idea of, my God, gay rock and roll.
Really rock and roll, too. Yeah. And not to take away from Pansy Division, but I thought Extra Fancy was, this was rock music with better voices.
Oh,
cool.
I was lucky enough to see them at one of the gay prides when they were performing. And with, of all people, the Dallas cheerleaders were there in the audience who got up and were doing their routines. They were gay and lesbian cheerleaders flying everywhere.
Yes.
Playing in the background. It was it was an experience.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
It was a hoot.
Wow.
And so when I started out doing Queer Waves, most of my music was dated 1995 and all of that, which I think probably, Charlie, you'd probably be able to tell me if I'm right here. It seems like what happened in 1995, there was, especially with the Atlantic situation, there seemed to be a real resurgence, I guess, since there couldn't have been a resurgence yet, of artists who were really beginning to put things, having releases because they were actually being courted by at least one major label.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of when the Atlantic things just melted down. Nothing was getting recorded until the advent of basically home recordings, studio recordings, and the internet independent releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I know they had almost signed Doug Stevens on Atlantic.
Really?
Yeah, and then it totally went down. I don't know, down the drain. Something happened. I was with Atlanta for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, though, I think that they open the doors for a lot of us to get out there and say, you know what? They're doing that. We can do it, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have something to say on a CD.
And I think the whole CD thing, because I think that the technology of the CD is a lot different than the vinyl. I don't think you could afford to put out vinyl.
See, that's the thing. When they started recording digitally, it became a lot cheaper than doing analog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, analog sounds a lot better. I'm the first to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know the difference. I've done both. But digitally, it makes it pretty affordable for an independent artist to basically go anywhere and get a good CD done at a good price.
Right. And then, of course, with the internet... I hate to say it because boys and girls, if you don't have it or access to the internet, you've got trouble tracking down these.
No kidding. Yeah.
Because it is such an excellent marketing tool. I mean, you can actually go look up people. You can actually download the music. Of course, I don't have an MP3. Whatever.
I don't either.
So I'm still stuck sending off and asking people, gee, your sound really good. Do you have this on a CD?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I opened with a cassette that Zeka sent me because she was out of CDs. And, I'll take cassette, anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know. I every now and then I'll have to tape. Luckily, I did buy at a store... at a chain store, there's set up with a turntable that was attached to the rest of the stereo speaker system and all that. So if there's something I really want on vinyl, I can record it on a cassette and play it because I can't believe it. Back in the 70s, it was all turntable. And now the idea of having to work one more switch and having to cue that up along with everything else, please.
And those were the days of
tape. I can't have it on tape.
Remember that? When you didn't cue it up right?
You'd have to wait till there was absolute silence and then do a quarter of a turn past that. Yes. Yes. The secret life of the DJs, boys and girls.
Yeah, that was great, though. I mean, I think that some vinyl recording sounded very, very good, though. I mean, considering. I don't know what... Well, also because it was all done on analog, too.
Yeah.
You know, back then.
Mm, oh, gosh.
People to this day will still argue that vinyl sounds better than CDs because they're digital.
You know,
There's diehards that are still out there that will say that.
You know, I basically... It's one of those things that I'll offer no opinion on.
I plead the fifth on that.
Except I really like the CD format simply because, what can I say, as someone who's moved around a lot, they're a lot easier to pack.
No kidding.
Somebody asked me the other day, aren't you going to like start buying stuff on mini disc? I gave him a dirty look. And it's like, you know
good
what?
For you.
I am doing good to do CDs at this point. You know, I've got a big vinyl collection. I still have a turntable. You know, and it's like, now I'm supposed to go to mini discs? I don't think so. I'm not converting
course,
one more
what
time.
Is it? The DVD audio.
Yeah, well, I do have that.
Oh, God. Well,
I do get that. I don't have very many, you know, DVDs, but I have the, you know, the capability. So if you have DVDs, come to my house and we'll watch them.
There you go. What a lovely, lovely offer.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it used to be etchings, now it's DVDs.
Uh-huh.
I will say I do have a friend who has a DVD player with a wonderful collection of things, and gosh, now when I throw in a little VHS tape at my little system here at home, I just look at it and go, oh well. Yeah.
Really?
What can I say? But oh gosh.
Well, what we can say is that we're going to have to close down this segment because we're getting to the top of the hour, and then and the next show is coming in here.
Oh my God!
I know. So,
I remember when, gosh, I remember this morning when Charlie said, it'll probably be about an hour. So, and I went, an hour? And that was before we talked on the phone for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Realized, like, what can we possibly say for an hour?
No problem at all. Well, Jim, when are you coming down to Austin? I've already had Charlie once.
Oh. You are so bad.
I have this on tape.
It's being recorded. Shh. I thought I coached you this afternoon.
I mean, it would be lovely to have you and Charlie. Wait a minute. You know, that sounds just as bad, doesn't it?
You're just digging it a hole deeper.
One of these days, I'm going to get there. Don't worry.
Well, honey, the red carpet is always rolled out for you, if you can find the studio.
Oh, thank you.
I'll go with you.
Charlie will go with me.
Yeah, ooh,
we'll go down those corridors and everything.
Oh, they're dark and spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Well, thank you for being a guest on After Hours.
Really?
Well, thank you for asking me. This is wonderful.
And you are at KOOP in Austin, and the number on the dial is?
And it's 91.7 FM, and it's the
program. 90 point, what was that?
91.7
FM?
Yes. Precisely. Let's see, we're on from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I will let you know as soon as we have internet, as soon as we have a real audio capacity, so that perhaps someone in Houston, Texas could tune us in at that time.
Okay.
Right, and keep us in touch about your 70s queer show.
Oh, well, you're going to miss it?
I'll be
you're
the
going
star.
To be one of the people invited to come.
Well, in 1974, I'll be right there to say everything I did and who I did and everything else.
Ooh,
they wouldn't have time.
I have the video, too.
It's
Charlie Pacheco, the video.
However, do bring the videos, okay?
Taylor, thank you
thank you for having me.
Okay.
Take
boys
care.
And girls.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston and KEOS College Station. Coming up in 15 seconds will be Rob Love. Yes, your host for the Early Morning Groove. And I was going to announce what you were hearing in the background, but it's already finished. It was y'all doing You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man.
Yeehaw!
I love that version, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.